I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello and welcome to the 328th edition of the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. In Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Matt Perkins. And a backside post across the Harpeth River from me here in the Music City, it's our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton.
What's up, man? So I just scored on the backside post. We're good. You found me. You went through your progressions, and that safety left me vacated. That was a big, big mistake. But here we are. I'm happy to be here. But the slightest tweak to that is I wish I was there.
There being the place where our third amigo is not in the second city this week. Our intrepid blogger from Big Ten Counting is going to be the very first to wish you a mela kalikimaka and is going to remind you that Hawaii is where aloha means goodbye. It's Josh Cook coming to us from the tropical, beautiful islands where he is spending Thanksgiving week, going to the Maui Invitational, Josh? I don't know. What are you doing out in the islands?
Family reunion on Kristen's side. There we go. A little Thanksgiving break. Aloha. Welcome. I've been here for 24 hours, and as you can tell, I am blending in perfectly. This is what we island people wear. This is the clothes of my ancestors.
Yes, yes. Clearly, judging by the skin tone of all three of us, we are native Hawaiians.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't work so well. So it doesn't matter where you are, though, because you can spend some time with our friends over at betonline.ag, our presenting sponsor here on the Believe Network. They're the place to go to take care of all of your online sports wagering needs. You name it, they've got it over there at BetOnline. Head on over to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. Bet online, where the game starts. We are going to start here on the final week of the regular season after what turned out to be an interesting week in college football. I think in a lot of ways we saw more coaches fired. Poor one out for our guy Dino Babers up there in Syracuse.
Thought he was going to last forever.
I mean, they were making a push there for a second this season, but it much like their offenses many times under him, they have come up just short. We have a lot to talk about here, heading into rivalry week, which I can never pronounce correctly without like, gobbling up all of my L's and R's and making them all sound the same.
Rivalry week.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. But yeah. We always start one big takeaway from the previous weekend. And so I am going to start like I usually do. This, you know, we've seen this coming for a little while, guys. And I think the mask is just now fully off Lincoln Riley. He is an offensive coordinator. And I don't see how he can remain a viable head coach. You know, even with the firing of Alex Grinch, the team just plays lackadaisically on defense still. They still have more talent than all these other teams that they're playing. They should, if you go talent to talent, they should have wiped the floor with UCLA this past weekend, right? I mean, they have more talent at quarterback, more talent on the offensive line, more talent at wide receiver, more talent at tailback, more talent at defensive line, more talent at cornerback, and still UCLA, my beloved Bruins, were able to beat them and beat them handily. Go out to a 14-0 lead, and then jump out in the second half and score another 17 pretty quickly. And their defense still Charmin soft, and they're getting sloppy. And I think that he now has a worse record than Clay Helton through the same amount of games. I'm not sure how much longer he can last. If he can't last, you know, anywhere at, you know, even through the rest of the season at USC. I mean, their regular season is over. You know, they don't play here on the final week. And, you know, would it completely shock me to hear that Lincoln Riley has become an NFL offensive coordinator? Not in the least. I mean, heck, I'd probably take him as the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator right now, even though, you know, Joe Brady and them boys looked a little better this past weekend against the Jets. But again, it's the Jets.
Pretty good. No, it's a pretty good defense, though.
It's a pretty good defense, but
their defense, they've played defense very well.
Doesn't matter. I don't see how Lincoln Riley can keep this up. And, you know, I've been fortunate to talk to a couple of former USC players, one of whom who was actually critical of the Riley move from the beginning. He says, and he's now dancing, say, this sucks, but I told you so. He's not, it's not going to work because he doesn't care about defense and he doesn't care about running the ball. And for all of the great things we've heard about USC quarterbacks for the past 20 years, what a lot of people forget is for the past 75 years, that has been the premier running back school in America. And so going away from that even more, and USC, for all of the glitz and glamour, for a long time had really good offensive linemen and really good running backs. And, you know, they are not, you know, they just don't have that. And they're soft. And it's just, I don't want to say it's sad because it's not sad, even though it's the, a lot of people say, well, you know, this college football is better when USC is good. Well, yes, but I think college football is better when you have teams that can be, you know, competitive. And this team isn't competitive right now with anyone who has a semblance of an offense or any team that actually plays hard. You know, and it's just, you know, also one other thing I want to say about that, you know, everyone's talking that, oh, Chip Kelly's going to lose his job after the USC game. Well, Chip Kelly just whooped up on USC, and UCLA would be idiotic to push Chip out. I think this would be such a regressive move to push Chip out. Did they have problems this season? Yeah, they were starting a true freshman, a transfer, and a backup who had started two games in his life at quarterback this year. And yet, here they are still sitting at 7-4 against one of the toughest schedules in the country. The Pac-12 has been an absolute murderer's row. I think at one point, oh, that loss to Arizona's, you know, a really bad one. Hey, guess what? Arizona can still make the freaking conference championship game right now, guys. Losing at Utah, losing at Oregon State, those are not bad losses. Yeah, they had one bad loss to Arizona State at home when they had zero quarterback play. This is not a smart thing to do. Do not fire Chip Kelly. You know, whoever is listening to me down at the athletic director's office at UCLA, he is still the guy for the job. Perko off his soapbox and passing it on over there to coach.
Yeah. So, Jerry Jones, if you're listening to this, I don't know why you would be listening to Illegal Motion, but if you
because he is a connoisseur of college football content.
Yes, he is. He's very much so. He listens to make sure we don't bury the lead.
That's true.
Because he's an Arkansas alum.
He is.
So, Jerry, if you're listening, Lincoln Riley is your guy. You want him as your head coach.
No, as your OC.
No. It's the Cowboys. So you want him as your head coach. So, my big takeaway, again, was like Georgia goes on the road. This was supposed to be the one that they lost at Tennessee. First play of the game, Tennessee houses at 75 yards, and that would be the only thing Tennessee does all day. Georgia just dismantled the Vols, 38-10. Carson Beck had another banner day, quietly putting together a very, very, very great elite season. Mike Bobo, who many claimed was a not disciple a home run hire. Ferentz. He was a disciple of Brian Ferentz. He was a homeboy hire. You know, hey, they were drinking buddies in college, so he's throwing him a bone here. Nah, man, he's got one of the best offenses in college football right now, and a lot of people are eating crow on that. This defense continues to improve each and every week. It took them a few weeks to kind of get to know each other because there's a lot of new starters, guys that still are learning how to communicate with each other. You lose a big piece in the middle, literally and figuratively, in Jalen Carter. That takes some adjustment, but they've seemed to kind of make that adjustment over the last four games. And man, they have looked absolutely impressive. Big shout out to UCLA. I'll echo that. Great weekend for the Bruins because Dorian Thompson-Robinson won his first start as an NFL quarterback, so that's great. That was a weird game, and then I'm glad it ended the way it did for him because he I think he deserves that. He's a really talented quarterback. I hope they give him more than a puncher's chance. Missouri finding a way to win in a sloppy game against Florida. They kept letting Florida into the game. But they found a way to win at home in a game that they don't usually win, but proving why they are in the top 10. And then, you know, shout out to Jordan Travis, man, that injury was disgusting. And, all kidding aside, I said it looked like a geometry problem, his leg. That's like, as soon as he fell down, that's when I knew it was bad.
Wasn't coming back.
It was like, you had a couple of right angles in there, and anytime you get that, it's not good. His foot was pointed one way, and it was stuck in that position. And, you know, you just feel for them, and you feel for him and that Florida State team who's worked so hard to get to this point. Hopefully the backup quarterback can give them a little something. But this college football playoff race is going to get very, very interesting, Josh. I don't know if you're going to talk about Washington as one of your takeaways, but that game with Oregon State was great.
It was great, it was great and ugly at the same time, Josh, because it was a monsoon.
Oh, there was a clip, Josh, before you get into that. There was a clip of some dude standing in the concourse just peeing on a support beam.
All right. Well, you had to christen the remodeled riser, I guess.
People were throwing cans at him and stuff. It was pretty funny. I saw that on that. Shout out to Barstool for sharing that out there.
No, I wanted to – this is not my takeaway. I just wanted to circle back to something Perko was talking about with USC. And
soft.
I mean,
that's all you need to say. Soft.
You look at their coaching history, their best coach since John Robinson came back in the early 90s was
Pete Carroll.
Yeah. 01 to 09. And I think part of it is, yeah, they've got the Rams and Chargers now, but for a long time, USC was the NFL team. And you kind of need that NFL mentality. I'm wondering if Lincoln Riley does not miraculously turn this around, if this trajectory continues.
He's not going to.
If
we know what
they look to an NFL hire that worked out for them the best. I think the other thing is, in hindsight, looking at Texas now, and you know, maybe Sark had to go through the Saban car wash for Sarkisian to get to this point, but his coach at Texas right now, USC would love to have. So, you know, maybe they got rid of him too quickly.
They also had to. They had no choice.
He had no choice with him drinking
on the job.
Yeah,
it wasn't about coaching for him. He was getting drunk at games.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you have him go through a substance abuse program. I'm just saying there could have been other ways to have handled it.
I cannot envision a scenario with the amount of transgressions that were both, you know, that came out and ones that weren't as verified that he could have weathered that.
I know
storm.
It would have been a very difficult needle to thread.
They made the right move, even though he's a good coach. They made the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't have been easy, like I'm saying, but just, you know, hindsight being 2020. I wanted to talk about two bowl bound teams from the Big Ten and then UNLV. UNLV got it done. They are 6-1 in the conference. They knocked off
New Mexico State.
Yeah, New Mexico State.
We're going to get there.
But yeah, UNLV won that Air Force game. I didn't run the math because why would I? Had an out on vacation. But at 6-1,
because you're
everyone
nerd.
Else in the Mountain West is 5-2. So the Rebs looking great. Shout out to them. And then the other two bowl-bound teams, Wisconsin. I know it's going to be a crappy bowl game, but they kept the streak alive. And I think with all the questions and doubt that Fickell has experienced, keeping that streak alive was pretty big for trusting him and this system. I don't think his seat was ever going to be more than warm, but...
Oh no!
He would have heard some noise.
He already was hearing noise.
Yeah, he already was. But yeah, I just, you know, I think that streak is tangible things for fans to look at. So
yes,
that was huge getting that win over Nebraska, and then the very opposite, Northwestern. I feel great on the block. I said that Northwestern had the talent to kind of win a few games here and there. I didn't think they would. I thought that would have been if they had Fitz, but it's safe to say that Fitz was clearly lost that locker room. This team went 1-11 last year and was awful. What David Braun has done has been amazing, getting them to a bowl game. I also feel really good that I had Purdue dead last in the Big Ten West, and that one came to fruition. But
I mean, you act like you're a Big Ten blogger or something. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, you know, for Northwestern, again, crappy bowl game, but we're talking about a whole extra set of practices that you can do. You know, practice. Going out on that recruiting trail, he's got the full-time job. He's not the interim, and he could say, look what I did year one, took him to a bowl game. We're building things here.
You know what would make the difference? He'll make the college football playoff if he does this. Put team on the back of his shirt.
It's so bad.
Hashtag.
At least there's no hashtag in front of it. Coach brought one or two other things I wanted to point out really quickly. New Mexico State going in, being paid $1.85 million to not just beat Auburn. It wasn't a fluke. Like, New Mexico State outplayed Auburn in every single phase of that game. They didn't win on fluky special teams. They didn't get big returns. They out-muscled, out-schemed, and just flat-out outplayed Freezes for four quarters.
Freezes the fraud.
Yeah.
Love it, man.
Broadsis. And then kudos to Louisville for locking up that ACC title game appearance. 10-1 on the season, 7-1 in the ACC in Jeff Brohm's first year. You got to tip your hat to all those guys. And still with, you know, an outside shot, if about 18 things break right, of making the CFP. Now, a lot of things have to go right.
Here's the interesting thing about that New Mexico State. Here's the really interesting thing about that New Mexico State Auburn game. Arizona had a great win. So Hugh Freeze, last year, Freeze versus Jerry Kill, Jerry Kill won 49-14.
Jerry Kill killed him.
So
he's probably tired of playing Jerry Kill.
Scheme, system, just coaching acumen. I mean, you could give Jerry Kill a vibrating football board and he'll find a way to get that to a bowl game. I mean, he's incredible. They have a chance to get to 10 wins with one more week left in the season. Then they have their conference title game. Then they have their bowl game. I mean, if they win out, they'll have 12 wins. I mean, it's great.
It's a crazy shame he had all those health problems, because, like, I can imagine him in a big-time Power 5 position.
Oh, he had Minnesota turning.
He did.
He had them turning, and he would have.
The year he was gone and Tracy Clays took that team to the Holiday Bowl and absolutely smoked Washington State. I mean, that was all Jerry Kill. I mean, Tracy Clays,
here's a name I hadn't heard in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking about coaches, just real quick, with the Illinois win, Kirk Ferentz at 600
for
winning 600. Percentage. If he retires now, he can get in the Hall. Just saying.
he's got to average 25 points a game over the next two.
No. Okay. Well, let's then transition right in from the weekend that was to the weekend that will be.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Talk a couple big games from this weekend, and it starts with the game, number 2 versus number 3, Ohio State and Michigan.
The game is not Georgia Tech?
No, sorry, Coach. The Ramblin' Wreck have not qualified for anything.
Hey, they went bowling too. You know that they've gone bowling 21 out of the last 23 seasons? It's the Jeff Collins era that broke that streak.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach Capri.
Yeah.
Geoff Collins broke the streak. We got one team in Michigan who, even if they make the postseason, those might be rescinded, so they may not count in the record books. And another team in Ohio State that, they looked good against Minnesota, but again, it's Minnesota. And I still don't think Ohio State has put together a convincing win against a good team yet, outside of that Penn State game. They both played Penn State, and I think Michigan looked better against Penn State than Ohio State did, but either way, it doesn't matter. It comes down to this here in the Big Ten. In the future, this will probably be the first out of a back-to-back, a home and home, maybe, or not quite, because there will be no more divisions, and so they will be able to face each other in the conference title game. But as long as we have East and West legends and leaders, we've got a title game. So these two teams are fighting for the illustrious right to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes in the Big Ten championship game next weekend. A lot of storylines here, more than we can count, I should say, Josh. So I'm going to start here by asking you, which coaching staff right now as constituted do you trust more?
Well, before answering, I am going to throw out there that Iowa's two highest point totals this season were Western Michigan and Michigan State. So we can score against Michigan teams. You've been put on notice, Wolverines. Okay, so all jokes aside, Michigan scoring averages since Connor Stallions got fired has gone way down. They're scoring fewer points per game.
I wonder why.
Is it anecdotal? Is it because they've played tougher teams? What is it? It is a fact. In game day action, you know, Michigan, for instance, famously ran the ball 30 times in a row against Penn State. They just pounded. Would Harbaugh have done that? Probably not. So which coaching staff do I trust more as currently constituted? The one that is intact, that hasn't fired a linebacker coach and replaced it with the defensive coordinator's dad, who, by the way, the defensive coordinator, he didn't know that his position coach was coaching players on what to say to investigators. I mean, for all we know, there could be another bombshell. It's Monday, right?
Yep.
We got five more days. There could be something else that happens. Ohio State, you know, Coach Day is playing this thing cool as a cucumber.
He's looking for Lou Holtz.
Yeah, he behind the scenes must just be going ballistic. And you talk about bulletin board material. This Ohio State team has to feel like just they got ripped off 2 years in a row. And for the COVID year, Michigan ducked them, didn't even want to play them. So this Ohio State team, they have the intact coaching staff, and they better be flipping PO'd. So you're getting a angry team that, I'm going to be honest, against Minnesota, they put no cards out on the table. They're like, we're playing the Gophers. We ain't showing Michigan a thing. And it was the most ho-hum 30-point victory you'll see.
Well, they couldn't guard Marvin Harrison Jr., yeah. So even if they wanted to show something, even if they yeah. felt like they needed to empty the bag, they didn't yeah. have to. They just
– So will that be enough? You know, the question the last 2 years has been Michigan has undeniably been more physical. And, you know, Ohio State's pointing that Notre Dame win saying, hey, we've fixed that. Notre Dame's pointing out to Coach Marvin Harrison their elite skill position talent. And, you know, do they have enough at quarterback? I mean, JJ's been playing well for Michigan, but I wouldn't say that, like, Michigan has, like, 100-1 advantage at quarterback. Like,
Michigan did not look
effective.
McCord's been good enough. I mean,
yeah.
If you get it in the zip code of Marvin Harrison Jr., you're probably in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of signs point Buckeyes. So that's how I'm feeling.
It's you know, I think if you're going to make the case for Michigan is that they still have probably the best offensive line in the country. And, you know, they may be able to, you know, you talked about the toughness stuff, you know, did Notre Dame answer that? Did they answer that with Notre Dame? Well, a little bit, but at the same time, like, I still feel like Michigan's offensive line is more rugged. They're running backs as a tandem in terms of Corum and Edwards are better than just Estime at Notre Dame. And, you know, they're, and, you know, while McCarthy may not be perfect, he is more than serviceable. I think it would be amazing to me, though. We see what CJ Stroud's doing in the NFL. If CJ Stroud never beat Michigan, which is wild, but if they're able to now beat Michigan with Kyle McCord instead of CJ Stroud, that would be something. But maybe it was just because they had the plays and the calls all along.
It was because CJ Stroud didn't play defense either. I mean,
true.
Yeah, the last two games have just been physical bullying from from Michigan with Ohio State. Ohio State's played soft in those last two games, especially the snow game in the Big House two seasons ago, where I mean they just the offensive line just mauled them. Like there was nothing Ohio State could do. They just mauled them.
Yeah, they beat the crap out of them.
And if they can overcome that, they will win this game. But they cannot get mauled. They cannot give up big chunk runs. They cannot not affect the passer. They have to at least, if they can even the battle, they don't even have to win the battle. They just even the battle up front. They have the skill positions to win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in the game, regardless of position. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that advantage, that's that's a big piece right there. So I want to move, though, out west. It's the final season of the Pac-12 with a court ruling saying that Washington State and Oregon State will get to keep the rights and get to sort of dictate what the future that of the Pac-2 is. As we close out this final season there, all eyes will be on the Pacific Northwest. The Apple Cup's going to be a good one, Washington State. But Washington has already punched their ticket to the conference title game. But in Eugene, the Ducks still need to take care of business in order to get that rematch to avenge their only loss to the Huskies earlier this season in Seattle. So with that, the only place, obviously, that is going to be rooting harder for the Beavers than Corvallis this weekend is going to be in Tucson. If Oregon State's able to win, Arizona takes care of their in-state rival, the Sun Devils. That will put the Wildcats in the title game and should put Jed Fish directly in the coach of the National Coach of the Year conversation. But speaking of coaches, Coach Corey, Jonathan Smith, the coach of Oregon State, their team played Washington better than anyone. They played them better than Oregon did in that monsoon this past weekend. Especially on defense, their defense, was really able to render Michael Penix Jr. much less effective than he had been throughout most of the season. Coach, do you think that they can muster up another big effort against what has been in Oregon, arguably the best offense in the country, and pull off this upset and, give our friends down in the desert in Tucson a little bit of hope that their team will make the title game?
I think they absolutely can. I think they had a really good game plan against Washington. The weather played a factor as the 12th defender. So unfortunately that effort will probably go unappreciated. Not by me. They were all over Penix. They disrupted him. It was one of the most inaccurate games I've seen out of Michael Penix. They made life difficult running the ball. They flew around. They got after you. For Oregon, what they're going to have to be able to do to make this a tough game. And Georgia did this against Tennessee. I think it's a similar game plan because it's a similar style of offense. I think they're going to have to do extremely well tackling in space, because what Oregon really likes to do is spread you out, hit those seams. They play a really good RPO option scheme, and they put guys on islands, and those guys on the islands, like Josh, are going to have to tackle. Josh, you're going to have to be a really good tackler this week because you're on an island. They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to play clean as far as penalty free. They get a chance to get off the field on third down. They've got to capitalize on that. They've got to find a way to take the ball away, which they're a very disruptive team. They are very much capable of doing so. It's the reason why we're having this conversation. So to answer your question, Matt, yes, absolutely they have a chance. But they don't need to play conservatively. They need to flat get after Oregon. That's it. And if you're going to get burned occasionally, Oregon's offense tends to do that. But you just got to keep coming at them, and keep hitting, keep blitzing, and just flat get after, man.
I think the key here, Josh, for the Beavers is their ground game. We know that they have a very good offensive line. We've seen Damian Martinez be really good, but we've seen Big Cinco, when he needs to take off and run, be able to take off and run and punish some guys. There was a run from this past weekend where I think he broke like three or four tackles in Washington. And if they're going to do this, you're going to need a big dual threat game from Big Cinco, I think. I think he needs to
I hate this is a road game for them.
I don't like that this is a road game for them. That Corvallis crowd would be big, Josh. But still, I think that, to me, the key to this game is going to be DJ not turning the ball over and doing it with his legs as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that loss against Washington, you know, what were the difference makers in it? You could point to that one play where Oregon State completes the pass, wide receivers running upfield, fumbles, gives Washington the ball with a really short field, and they turn that into points and, you know, kind of sucked some of the air out of that stadium. But what Oregon State put together, incredible second half, shut out the Huskies. Another thing, I know this is not the sexiest stat in the world, but time of possession. It's a real deal with Oregon State. How do you shut out a team as good as Washington in the second half? Well, they had 15 more minutes of time of possession, 37 minutes to 22. That's a huge thing. That's, you know, Coach, how many possessions is that Washington basically didn't get to have because Oregon State's bleeding the clock every time they touch the ball? Cost probably, them what, 3, 4, 5?
I'd say about 3.
Yeah.
Realistically.
So, I mean, that's it's harder to score when your offense is not on the field. I mean, I hate to be John Madden, but for Oregon State, that is a very real recipe for success. Bo Nix and that offense has been amazing for the Ducks. Well, don't have them on the field, and Oregon's probably less likely to score. So that's going to play a huge factor. What you said, Matt, about the run game, that's how you get that time of possession. You know, when they were driving the ball and they got to about midfield, I really thought Oregon State was going to do it. I saw your text. By the way, Coach jinxed them. Coach jinxed Oregon State about to win here. I was like, ooh, they are driving. Coach, the prognosticator, here we go. And then the drive kind of stalled.
No, but, I'm the jinxer is what I am.
but I mean, before that drive stalled, it seemed like
Martinez, I did it to Florida too.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, during that drive before it stalled, Martinez was getting 4 or 5 yards before he got touched. And I know they only averaged 3.7 yards per carry against Washington. But
what
they
is
they carried it 40 times. They ran the ball 40 times. Eating some of those 1 yard gains in the first half tires the team out, and then you can get some more yards in the second half. And I know it's like 1950s, 1960s to say you got to establish the run. Yeah, there's more ways to skin a cat, right? You don't have to be physical, you know, establish the run.
Hey, Josh.
But if you have a offensive line like Oregon State does, that is still a good model for success, as old as it is.
Hey, Josh, I got a math problem for you out there on the island.
Yeah.
What is 3.7 times 3?
3.7 times 3?
First down.
That's a first down. Yeah. Yeah. 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Yeah.
Yeah. Move the chains.
Woody Hayes won a lot of games that way before he started to punch Clemson players.
That's a huge advantage when you punch Clemson players.
Fun fact about Clemson. I just learned this week, and I did not know this. That
they beat the holy hell out of UNC.
Well, no, I knew that was going to happen. UNC has always been a paper champ, but
paper champ. I think you'd be a paper tiger.
Both. Why not?
Don't you got to win a championship to be a paper champ?
I mean, didn't they win a championship sometime in the '50s or something like that? I don't know. Apparently, at Clemson home games, they say the Pledge of Allegiance in the stadium before the game.
Yes, that's true. I've been to one.
That shocked me. That absolutely shocked me that they say the Pledge of Allegiance in the stadium before.
I've heard them. I was not inside the stadium yet. I was still waiting to get in, but I heard it.
I'm flabbergasted.
They also open the gates at halftime, let you leave and come back.
Yeah, well, so does every Big 12.
I'm not seeing any natties. I'm seeing eight conference titles.
Okay, well,
five in the ACC. None since 1980, and then three in the SoCon.
Yeah, the SoCon champs, baby.
There we go.
SoCon paper champs.
paper.
So, okay. No, well, with With the Pac-12 wrapping up, you know, it's sad to see it go, but we are going to have to continue to go on our little journey
Pac-dos.
Here. From the Pac-2. I am, though, also Pac-2. Interested in a extremely important game over in the American this weekend, Josh. UTSA, Tulane. The winner of this game will get a berth in the American Championship game, most likely against SMU. That's assuming the Ponies are able to dispatch of Navy and the Middies this weekend. If not, there's a bunch of different machinations that Josh could take us through what would happen. But assuming that SMU continues their winning ways and the midshipmen stay, well, mid as they have been all season, I think it's going to be the winner of this game versus SMU in the American Championship and also in the running for the top group of five not to be in a New Year's Six game. So, Josh, like I said, I'm interested in this one. What key matchup, in your opinion, is going to be the one that determines how this one turns out?
Yeah, so, you know, I think we picture Willie Fritz and Michael Pratt, quarterback at Tulane, scoring all those points against USC last year. And we must think, oh, they're a high-flying offense. They really
well,
are.
Here's the thing, Josh. Like, I think the JV team that coaches over at Ensworth could put up, you know, 26, 27.
Oh, easy. With these defense. Easy. Easily. Yeah. Dude, we're scoring every time we touch it.
But
that's
yeah.
That's just how we roll.
Tulane really isn't that. They're a very nice, balanced offense. 61st in passing, 66th in rushing, 66th in points four. Where they stand out is their defense has been awesome this year. 18.5 points allowed. That's top 20 in the nation. So for me, the matchup is going to be UTSA's offensive attack, a little bit more potent, a little bit more explosive than Tulane's, keyed by their awesome quarterback, Frank Harris, with over 2,300 yards on the season. And they have a very, very, very nasty wide receiver, Joshua Cephas. Assuming he plays pretty well, he'll hit 1,000 yards in this game. He's just about 30 yards shy of that mark right now. He has 9 touchdowns on that season. So I'm looking to see how Tulane's top 20 defense handles Frank Harris and Joshua Cephas. That, to me, is the matchup. If Tulane defense shows up, balls out, that Tulane consistent complementary offense should be able to put up enough points to win, but it's going to come down to that Tulane defense for me.
Coach, you got anything to add here on this one?
I think Josh hit that beautifully.
He knocked that one out of the park. So let's then...
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This does not have title game implications because Florida State has already locked up their berth in the ACC title game, and the Gators have been eliminated since the second week of September in the SEC.
They've been eliminated since training camp.
pretty much. They've been
as soon as they pulled Graham Mertz out of the portal.
Well, you know what? Here's what I'll say. Graham Mertz played valiantly this season. I don't think you can actually sort of like put down what Graham did this year, considering that offensive line. He put up some good numbers, but he was also, you know, he's now out for the season. Jordan Travis out for the season. So we've got a backup quarterback bowl, and this is going to be huge in a lot of ways because without Jordan Travis, I mean, Florida State's chances at the CFP diminish significantly. Even if they get over the hump here, they're going to face Louisville, and that offense, who also have, like, Louisville's got some defense too. Like, don't forget that Louisville can get after the passer as well. So even if they're able to come through those two unscathed, though, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to, you know, if the committee is going to really be interested in putting a Florida State team that has redshirt junior Tate Roadmaker, who's making his first career start this weekend against Florida in the CFP. This is not a Cardale Jones situation. This is not the first season with that Ohio State team that turned to Cardale Jones. We saw them. Cardale was already like a huge recruit from back in the day, had the talent. They had more weapons, even with the Keon Coleman's, Johnny Wilson's and stuff like that, that Florida State has. That 2014 Ohio State team was on a completely different level when you go back and think about the talent they had at receiver, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, all those guys. So that being said, we've got the Noles this weekend, like I said, going with Tate Roadmaker. He saw a lot of action in relief of Jordan Travis last week. He guided the Noles to 58 points, but it was against FCS North Alabama. We also may see true freshman Brock Glenn this weekend from the Noles. I would not be surprised to see a couple packages for him. For the Gators, it is a native Oklahoman, Max Brown, not to be confused with former USC five-star recruit Max Brown with an E. This is Max Brown without an E. He's a redshirt freshman, much more of a dual threat than the statuesque Graham Mertz. Coach, which one of these teams is more likely to have issues with their backup quarterback here? And how do you see this one playing out between the two second stringers?
I think it's going to be a pretty good game between the two second stringers. I trust Florida State more because I think Alex Atkins is a better play caller. I think the scheme is a little bit more intact with Florida State. I mean, to score 58 points is 58 points. You still got to make the throws. You still got to be poised in the pocket. You still got to go through your reads, and you still got to go through a very complex offense. There's some other footage out there of Tate Roadmaker against – he came in relief. Jordan Travis got knocked out of the game last year against Louisville. He comes in and balls out in the fourth quarter against Louisville. He had some action against – he had some really nice throws against Southern Miss. I mean, he's had some good reps. So he's not short on confidence. But then again, Max Brown did everything that he possibly could to lead Florida to a win against Missouri on the road against a top 10 team. So he's pretty good in his own right. But we'll see what he does with a full game against what I think is probably a better defense than what Missouri's going to present. So it'll be kind of interesting, but to answer your question, I think just scheme-wise, coaching-wise, you've got to give the edge. The edge will go to Roadmaker, however you say his name. Rosenbagger?
Rosenbagger. Let's go with the Rosenbagger. He's gonna have dry hands in the Florida swamps. Yeah. You know, gonna need a little bit of that rosin to keep your hands dry. Josh, You have thoughts here? Do you think, you know, we've also been hearing Billy Napier maybe on the hot seat?
No.
I've seen them losing recruits, Coach.
They have lost a few recruits.
I think they lost three pretty big name recruits in the past week.
If they get embarrassed, if Florida State comes out and embarrasses them, which I think that's off the table now, but I think he's going to get at least one more year.
He should.
But his seat will be
hot, very hot next year. Yeah.
Like he's going to have to beat Georgia. He's going to have to. I think he's going to have to win at least 9 games next year to keep his job. Unless he goes out and beats Florida State this week, then it'll get a little bit cooler, but it still won't be great. Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's as hot as everybody thinks it is.
No, it's not.
And it really kind of shouldn't be.
Well, and we'll talk more about that next week after we have Black Monday. On our annual Coaching Carousel podcast. Before we head out, though, for the night, we're going to give you guys one or two or a half dozen for the road, however many you need to get you through the rest of the day, to get you through Thanksgiving week. For me, that means one thing and one thing alone. It's Axe Week. I was in Madison last week and got to take in Wisconsin versus Nebraska under the lights with some friends from the box. Shout out to friends of the show, Bruce and Kathy, hooking me up with some box seats. Got to hang out with some friends from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, in the box. Good times all around. Wisconsin became bowl eligible, which is huge, extending their 22 straight bowl seasons. And with a victory over Minnesota this weekend, will extend their having a winning record for 22 straight seasons, which is the most in college football. We've seen more teams have a straight bowl season, but some of those finish 6-7 or with losing records. That's a really important thing, like Josh mentioned earlier, to a lot of Wisconsin fans, that bowl streak, that winning season streak, that having something on the line. It means a lot to Wisconsin and the Axe. Obviously, it's the most played college football rivalry across the board and a big game for both of these programs. PJ Fleck and them boys have had, an up and down year. They're fighting to get to bowl eligibility. So it's a double win for Wisconsin. Prevent Minnesota from going to a bowl. You get to go to a bowl. You get to get the Axe back. But it's still been tough sledding for Wisconsin's offense. The running game has had a tough time getting going. Tanner Mordecai has provided a spark with his legs once he returned from injury, but it's going to be tough up there in the bank, Huntington Bank Stadium in Minneapolis for Wisconsin and Minnesota. But I'm excited. I'm always excited about the Axe. Guess what? It's going to be cold. It's going to be gray. It's going to be some ugly football. Ethan Kaliak-Manis is still playing quarterback for Minnesota, whose game is about as ugly as his name. And it's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be classic Big Ten West football. And speaking of, we've been pouring one out for coaches that have been leaving. We're going to be pouring one out for the Big Ten West because this is our last weekend of Big Ten West football. Got some real humdingers for you. Northwestern Illinois, 6-5 versus 5-6. Illinois wins this one. They get to go bowling as well. We get to see Iowa, Nebraska, which I'm sure Josh will talk about. I'm excited, though, also in Big Ten country. Maryland, Rutgers, both teams already secured bowl bids. Rutgers wins this one, finishes 7-5 on the season. That would put them in a solid fourth in the Big Ten East, and which I think would be a real successful season for Rutgers only a couple seasons into the second term of Greg Schiano in New Brunswick. So I'll be keeping my eye on those Big Ten matchups as well, Josh. But I will pass it off to Corey for his one for the road.
One for the road, like one six-pack for the road? Yeah, hell yeah. All right, so
130 rack for the road.
130 rack for the road. So I'm going to talk about every game on the slate now. When you think of Thanksgiving weekend, you cannot sit and watch football without thinking about this massive battle up north. UConn at UMass.
There we go.
It's gonna be a true, true barn burner. I don't know a single player on this team, but Jim Moore Jr. Has a tough road game ahead of him. The over-under set at 51. It's going to be a whole lot of get you some on that one.
That is, I mean, for Thanksgiving, it's perfect. It's you know, UMass, UConn, New England, Pilgrims, Pride, mm-hmm. all sorts of good stuff. They might as well play the game at Plymouth Rock. Why not?
They'll probably get just as many fans. Egg Bowl is going to be interesting. Ole Miss has a chance with some style points. They have a chance at a New Year's Six Bowl if they can win and win handily and give the committee something to think about. So that'll be kind of interesting. The game's in Starkville. Clean Old Fashioned Hate Week, of course. If you know what Clean Old Fashioned Hate Week is, do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's Georgia Tech.
Yeah, there you go.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Both, we got the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, we got Iron Bowl. Yeah, Egg Bowl.
The Iron Bowl.
Iron Bowl. You got the Volunteer Bowl. Vandy at Tennessee. That's going to be a barn burner. And by barn burner, I mean that's going to be a seat burner for Clark Lee. The Palmetto Bowl, Clemson at South Carolina. See, South Carolina can win two in a row against Clemson. South Carolina had a really nice win against Kentucky last week. See if they can keep that up.
Kentucky falling off.
They've fallen off big time.
Yo, Georgia didn't just, like, you know how, like, we'll say sometimes, like, oh, like, don't let a team beat you twice, right?
Georgia beat them.
Kentucky five times.
They broke Kentucky.
They completely broke Kentucky. They are two different, like, the team that we saw in the first 5 weeks, Kentucky, and the team that we are seeing now, are not the same players. It's not the same coaching staff. It's not the same scheme. It's not same anything. That was like, they are unrecognizable right now.
Yeah. Devin Leary looks like he's never played quarterback before.
And like their offensive line is stopped functioning. Their offensive line is completely stopped. And that to me is the biggest surprise, because I thought even if Leary was going to be up and down, they could rely on that running game with Ray Davis in the offensive line. Dude, like,
it's been atrocious.
But they're seeing ghosts. Like, I've you know, in watching, I caught a little bit of that game last week. I felt like offensive linemen were moving to block stunts that weren't there. Like, it's bananas.
Yeah, I've never seen a team just get so discombobulated so quick and for so long. Usually teams pull out of it. Usually good teams pull out of that. Usually Kentucky pulls out of that. Kentucky's never been broken like that.
No. Shocking. It's shocking. It's almost
not under Stoops, at least. They've never been broken like that under Stoops.
It's almost Lincoln Riley-esque. All right, Josh, give us one for the road.
Well, I'm not going to talk about the Heroes game, although I will be up at 7 a.m. here in Maui to watch it. And to continue my trend of cooking something from the other team, I am trying to figure out how to make a homemade Runza sandwich. Of course, the famous Nebraska fast food restaurant that we'll sometimes poke fun of with their name. But I will talk about a team from the state of Iowa. Due to traveling and things, we could not do our usual beloved FCS playoff extravaganza. But this Saturday is the opening.
Yes, brackets are out.
The playoffs. And from Des Moines, we got a team you might not recognize, the Drake Bulldogs. They went undefeated. They went undefeated in the Pioneer Football Conference, 8-0. It's their first championship since a co-championship back in 2012. It's their first outright championship since 2004. And they get the distinction of playing North Dakota State. So very, very, very tough battle ahead. And I'm sure some people are wondering, well, hang on, North Dakota State went 8-3. So did Drake. Why can't Drake hang in this game? Well, the Pioneer Football Conference is that conference that does not give the same amount of scholarship. These are programs that do not give scholarship money. So as a result, they're not quite as good. For example, against South Dakota State, the number one team in the country who went undefeated in the Missouri Valley football and beat North Dakota State, when Drake played them, they lost 70-7. So there's a very, very, very good chance Drake does not do well this weekend. But that does not take away from the fact that they went undefeated in their conference. They won their first conference outright in almost 20 years. Well done, Drake. You guys are freaking awesome. You represented FCS football for the state of Iowa quite well, because Northern Iowa was a walking disaster this season. So well done, Drake. Hats off to an incredible season. Get the upset. It's like Hoosiers. It's a 100-yard field. The field goal's the same. The field goal posts are the same. Just because you're the smaller school, smaller brand in FCS, doesn't mean you can't have a one-time miracle. That would be awesome. I don't think they'll do it, but hats off to Drake for a phenomenal, phenomenal season.
Got a couple of interesting matchups in the first in the FCS, you know, opening weekend. You've got an intrastate game between UT Chattanooga and Austin Peay, coach, here in you know, we've got some regional matchups. We've got Lafayette versus Delaware, North Carolina Central versus Richmond, Gardner Webb and Mercer. We got a bunch of like quasi regional matchups that are going to be really interesting to keep an eye on. Even that Drake North Dakota State, you know, that Upper Midwest matchup. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm always excited about the FCS playoff. We're not going to get to talk about it as much this week. We'll get into it a little bit more.
It's easier next week when the seeded teams are involved.
Yeah. Once we get into the seedings, we will jump head first into that, you know, and see if them Jackrabbits can win it all again. I mean, they definitely are the heavy favorites. They are, you know, they are the strongest program in the country at this point. But we'll be talking about all that and more next week when we are back. Before we head out, any final words, gentlemen?
Aloha. There we go. I gotta go.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Go enjoy your Rumza sandwich.
The Illegal Motion Podcast.
It's a Runza.
Runza.
R-U-N-Z-A.
Rosenberger, warm up. You're going in.
Put down the Runza, Rosenberger. You're going in. Thanks for tuning to the Illegal Motion Podcast on the Believe Network and Mike Farrell Sports, presented by betonline.ag. Thanks for tuning in on behalf of our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton, in Nashville, Tennessee, and our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook, out there on the Hawaiian Islands. Once again, I'm Matt Perkins, saying so long, and see you next time on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast.
Go Dogs.
Go Bulldogs from Drake.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.